Welcome to Quest for Gold. We are just 4 days away from the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics. I'm Ryan Burrow. This week, Team USA athletes selected LeBron James as the male athlete who will carry in the flag at the opening ceremonies, which of course will be on a boat on the Seine River. It was U.S. teammate Steph Curry who nominated James and actually delivered the news to him that he would get the honor.
To have the flag bearer and to wave the flag for not only for us as a men's national team, but for all the Olympians, I hold that with the utmost honor. And it's definitely something that my family and my community and my friends is something that will live on forever, and super appreciative and super humble about it.
That sound courtesy of USA Basketball. James and the U.S. squad narrowly edged Germany in a final exhibition in London before the Olympics. 92-88, LeBron led the way with 20 points. The team only beat South Sudan 101-100 in an extremely exciting game on Saturday. Head coach Steve Kerr took the blame for not better preparing his team for that exhibition. Meanwhile, on the women's side, Team USA Basketball was stunned by Caitlin Clark and the WNBA All-Stars 117-109. This is very similar to what happened ahead of the Tokyo Olympics when the WNBA All-Stars knocked off Team USA before those Olympics. Of course, Team USA then went on to win their 7th straight gold medal. There are rumors Lady Gaga could perform at the opening ceremony in some form. She has not confirmed that, but tabloids have reported that she's been spotted rehearsing for the event. We learned this week that Israeli athletes will be under 24-hour security during the full 2 weeks of the games, including the full men's soccer team. The move is in response to the conflict in Gaza, and history has shown us in the 1972 games that added security is a must. Athletes have already started showing up to Olympic Village ahead of the game. Some are getting to test drive those cardboard beds they'll be sleeping in. The beds, like the ones in Tokyo, are said to be more environmentally friendly and can be easily broken down for the games. We've got a few more interviews to get through ahead of the games, and we had a chance to chat with Peter Chatain, a Team USA rower who will be competing in his first Olympics in Paris. He and his team have actually been training together in New Jersey since March, and it is an early start for Team USA as they work to mesh ahead of the Olympics.
This year we're doing something a little bit different. We've actually been together as a boat for a while. We were selected back in March in Sarasota, and so we've had the same 8 people in our boat just the whole time, and going through we've had a lot of time together. Sometimes you can select a boat like early June in like previous cycles, so we've had a bit more time together, so we definitely are used to it.
That's got to be an advantage then, right? I mean, you guys are getting the feel for each other. You guys are probably kind of creating that team camaraderie and also kind of knowing what your limits are.
Yeah, I think it's a huge advantage. I think this is like something the U.S. we are usually like on the younger side, so like our 8 we're all like between like 24 and 27, and like a lot of the 8s we're going up against, like the average age is like 27 or 28, so you got guys that are older, have like been rowing together for longer, and a lot of those other 8s were actually even selected before us, like in like January or even earlier, so we're definitely like moving more in that direction of like selecting earlier and having more time together. And I think, we've just continued to get better because of that, and had a lot of time to work on things. It doesn't feel like a huge crunch.
Talk a little bit about qualifying. How did you get to this point? What did it take?
The first step is like making the team, and that was really stressful. There's a lot of guys, probably half of them are going to get cut, and you're all at selection camp. The first step is like we race in like pairs, so like smaller boats, and that it gets you like an initial ranking of people. And then there's like 3 weeks where they're just running seat races where you have 2 boats, and then they go, and then you swap 2 people in the boats, and you see which one goes faster. So I guess to answer your question, after that, we headed off to Lucerne, and at this point we like really hadn't raced any other international crews as a boat, so we didn't really know what to expect. There was like a preliminary race because it's there's only like 4 boats that were at the final qualifier for the 8. And so because of that, there's just like a preliminary race and then a final race after that, where like the first race determines lanes, because like some lanes can like sometimes be favored. And so we came out and we won that preliminary race, and we're like, we were pretty pumped. We're like, all right, like, let's make sure we do it again. We're not going to take like anything for granted. You know, we have no idea what Italy has up their sleeve. Like they in the past, we talked to some of the guys who qualified the same way we did for Rio, where they went through that last chance regatta where kind of everything hanging on the line. And they had the same thing. They won their preliminary race, and then like it really wasn't a race for, it wasn't like a question whether they would get the top two that they need to qualify. But then in the final, they were down like far into the race. They were not in like a qualifying position, and like Poland had just come out of nowhere, and like they barely able were to work through and win the final race for the qualifier for Rio. And so I remember in that call with them, we were all like, our heartbeats were racing. Like, honestly, we all said this, we felt more nervous talking to them and hearing their story than we actually did like for our race on the race line.
Do you get pretty nervous before races? Are there things you do to calm yourself down or maybe even amp yourself up?
I feel like I don't get too nervous. I think, you know, there's like opportunities to get nervous, and I think at this point I've like learned like how to handle each of those moments. I think for me, one of those moments is like when you're getting ready for a race and there's like a large period of downtime, and like then you need to like decide what to do. So I think just having like it written out, like what am I going to be doing at every moment, so I know like, okay, I'm going to be like drinking water at this point, I'm going to be doing this warm-up exercise. And then the other point is after they say like 2 minutes before the start or like 1 minute, and you're just kind of sitting there, like the boat's held in place and you're just waiting for them to announce you and start the race. I think that can also be a moment. And in that moment, I remind myself of all the things I need to be thinking about right off the line. Like I need to be breathing, quick arms away, and just like rehearsing over like what I need to be focusing on and bringing myself back into the moment.
Admittedly, I don't know a ton about rowing. Do you have a position?
Yeah, so there's two different disciplines, I guess, like sculling with two oars and then sweep with one oar. So in the 8-man boat, there's it's sweep, so everyone has one oar and you row one side because of that. And so I row port side, and I'm 6 seat in the 8. You know, sort of the different seats tend to have like different people in them. Like if you're at the ends of the boat, you tend to be a bit lighter. And then if you're in the middle of the boat, you tend to be a bit bigger and have a bit more power. You know, sometimes we try switching sides, but like after like 10 years, you're just so used to rowing one side, you feel like a complete novice if you switch sides.
Sure. You don't have to cut weight, do you?
No, we don't. We don't have a weight target that we hit.
Okay.
That's another. Yeah, there's like a lightweight double also at the Olympics, and they have a weight target.
Talk a little bit about the boat itself. Will the boat you plan to race, or maybe there are multiple in Paris, is that one that you've already competed in, or will it be a brand new one?
Yeah. So. I was at the World Championships last year in the 8, so I've raced that before, and then also at like the under 23 level, I've raced the 8 before, this is my first Olympics, so.
But the physical boat itself, I mean, is this like an F1 car where you guys have to manage and maintain this thing? How does it get shipped?
I see, yeah. So we're working with Filippi boats this cycle, and they try to standardize things as well as possible, but we'll have a different boat that we're going to train with over in Paris. And we have like as similar a boat as possible here, and like we take all the measurements and try to set it up right. But I think it is like a little bit different. So
are you going to get a chance to practice much at the venue prior to the competition?
Yeah, so we'll get to the venue like a week before the first race. So we'll get a little bit of practice, but before that we'll be in Italy for like a week or two. And that's the same thing we did for Lucerne. So we'll have the same boat that we had that we qualified with, and we'll get that time to get like acclimated to the time zone and just used to everything over in Europe.
And really try to focus in on the task at hand, I'd assume, rather than just drop it in just beforehand. That being said, are you going to be able to enjoy yourself? Are you going to be able to do opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies? Where does rowing fall as far as the 2 weeks go?
Yeah, so I think our first race is after opening ceremony. I think some other boat classes that have more races are racing like right after. And so I think they're not going. For us, it's kind of, we're still kind of leaving it up in the air. We're waiting for like more details, like if it's going to be something where we're like having to like stand around for like many hours and like get tired, with it being like 2 days before our race, we might call it and not go, but I think we're just waiting to make that decision.
Did you expect your rowing career to lead to the Olympics?
I mean, not initially. You know, like in high school, like my first year, I was just like really happy to make the team. And then I think like first year of college, I did think like, okay, like this could be something I try and push for the Olympics with. I had a really like inspirational coach. But yeah, I didn't really fully know. I just was taking it like one step at a time.
Have you had to do that and had that mindset through this Olympic cycle then? I mean, do you tend to set a goal of I'm going to make this Olympic team, or is that too overwhelming and you're just trying to get through whatever the first step is?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think I've had like a lot of success just like setting like a goal like around like 2 or 3 years out, like a somewhat ambitious goal, and like kind of working backwards for like what I need to do that. Like in high school, I set like an ambitious target for fitness on the erg machine, like 2 years out, work towards it, hit it, and that helped me get into school. And then in the last year at Stanford, I was like, okay, yeah, let's push for the Olympics. Like, I found like a club with the previous Olympic coach, Mike Tatey at California Rowing Club, made sure to get in there and train with a lot of the best guys there to like put myself in a good position for the Olympics.
How unique is it to be from the Midwest and be in this sport? I mean, there are a few of you, obviously, but, you know, you've got to obviously have a body of water. So, University of Wisconsin obviously is a pretty good, row school, and New Trier does. I grew up in the Northwest suburbs. There's no rowing in the Northwest suburbs, but how unique is it to have Midwesterners on these teams?
I think it's definitely like a bit rare, we got a decent amount of people. I think, you know, thanks in part to like New Trier and like a lot of these like rowing clubs around. I mean, definitely there's like a huge there's like huge teams on each coast. Luckily though, like New Trier actually has like an amazing, like the North Branch of the Chicago River is actually like amazing for rowing. It's really underrated. I had no idea how lucky I was in high school, just because you got trees on both sides, so it's like fully protected from the wind. If there is wind, it's a head or a tail, which is easier to handle in rowing. The crosswind kind of, you know, the boats are like, oh, what, like this wide. So a little crosswind makes it that much harder to balance it. And it's not as fun to row in.
Do you see an opportunity to grow this sport then? I mean, is it growing even maybe since when you started?
Yeah, I think it's growing. I think, I want to say they were, I want to say they're always talking about starting a new team, but I mean, yeah, like Nutria, there's just been like, I think a ton of interest in rowing. I think it's just like a great way to like, you know, learn good life skills. Like, you know, rowing is like a great sport because, there's like a very direct path for like, okay, like I put in the work, I do these right things, and like you see results from that. And so I think it teaches like a lot of great skills.
What are your personal goals before a race versus what the team goals are? Is there some objective you're trying to achieve personally, or is it just all the results of the team?
I mean, yeah, when you're in a boat, like everyone has the same finish, like especially in a team boat, like the eight, it's just so team focused. Like, you know, I guess in practice we get like some like telemetry, so it actually like measures like what output and what angles each person's giving. You know, if the coxswain wants to, they can like call out a person and be like, hey, you're low on watts. Yeah, I mean, going into a race, you're trying to think like, okay, what can I do to make the boat have the best performance? So, you know, I could like go crazy and just like go as hard as I could go at some point in the race, and like maybe that will help me like output a bit more, but it will probably upset the boat and make the other seven guys have a worse performance, which ultimately will make the boat have a worse performance.
So you guys are all just trying to find flow together, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to enable everyone else and reach our best performance.
Tell me a little bit about this team. Who is this patchwork of people? I assume they're from across the country. People maybe you've raced against before, maybe former teammates.
Yeah, I've actually raced with a few of them, and like juniors and when I was younger. At the U23 level, I raced with one of them in the Cox 4. We got sixth place. Before that, at the junior level, I rode with Clark Dean, and we also got sixth place. And so I think, yeah, those two were like moments where I was like, all right, I got more to give. I gotta come back and do something more. But yeah, I've raced, I think most of them I raced in the final year at Stanford at the collegiate championship. We're all in like our different respective schools, so that was like a fun time, like looking across at the starting line and racing some of these guys I've been around a bit and kind of expect to be at. I knew they were going to be at the selection camp afterwards, and so yeah, it's fun.
Have you guys talked as a team about expectations in Paris?
Expectations in terms of like results, or
results, where you guys want to finish, what kind of time you're looking at. I mean, is that something you guys talk about yet, or is it not, you're not there yet?
No, we definitely talk about that. I think, I mean, yeah, it was something we didn't talk about until after qualifying, and right after qualifying, we're actually lucky to get to race pretty much all the top eights that we're going to see at the Olympics. So we got to race Great Britain, the Netherlands, Australia, Germany. We actually got to like see like, you know, how does our speed compare to some of these other boats? And I guess what we took away from that is our speed's pretty good. We were like a quarter of a second off GB in the final, and we actually beat them in the preliminary race. At that point we're like, all right, we're looking to try and get gold. I mean, I think you can't really control the outcome, I guess, but, and, you know, you also don't want to hyper fixate on one crew, 'cause it's like Great Britain's the favorites. And like, you know, they might be the ones that are pushing the pace for everyone else, but if they have a bad race, like you don't want to just be like, okay, cool, we beat them. But actually this, like Australia just pulled through and they're actually winning. I mean, it's really just about, you know, we spend so far apart, and it's just like putting down the fastest times you can and making sure you're ready and prepared.
All right. I saw your Stanford picture. You were rocking a pretty sweet stash. You planning on pulling that? I mean, you got one now going on, but, yeah. any plans for anything unique for the Paris races or no?
I'm not sure.
You guys aren't going to come out with like pink hair or anything like that?
Nothing crazy like that. You know, part of me wants to follow in the footsteps of Austin Hack, the other Stanford rower who is in Tokyo in the 8, and get like a nice mohawk or something. But I think my girlfriend might not be happy with that. So we'll see.
Are you going to go out and get an Olympic tattoo, the rings?
I haven't decided about that. I feel like part of me is like, if we do well, yeah, but
you don't want to be reminded if things go sideways, I guess. Yeah. Huh? You were an Eagle Scout.
Yes.
Is that what got, where did you get into rowing kind of through that?
I didn't get into rowing through Boy Scouts, but, you know, I was a Boy Scout before rowing and, I really enjoyed it, and I actually used my Eagle Scout project to kind of work on something that I thought was impactful for rowing, which is the bridges that we would all row under, like, didn't have signs. So we have actually had some, like, incidents in the North Manchester Chicago River, and I think it's important to, like, be able to point to a sign and, like, know where you are and just, it could help in, like, a situation like that. So my Eagle Scout project was to build signage for the bridges along the river.
Very cool. All right. I asked this to everyone. We'll wrap up soon, but I asked this to all the athletes. Do you have any crazy USADA stories? You get a knock on the door any weird time?
I don't think I have any crazy. Well, the craziest story about me was I was staying at a host family in Seattle, and, basically, we were out for dinner, and so this, like, random van pulls up to the house and is, like, looking around, trying to knock on the door, and so the neighbors call my host family, and they're like, hey, I'm really worried. It looks like there's someone at your house, like, looking around. And then eventually I was like, oh, it's probably USADA.
Sure. So you have to run back home and give a sample at that point?
Yeah, I did.
All right, very good. Where can people find you on social media? Do you update frequently?
Yeah, on Instagram. I think it's Peter Chatain is my Instagram handle. And yeah, I'll be posting updates there.
Oh, who's all coming out to Paris with you? And family and friends coming out?
Yeah, my girlfriend is coming out, and my mom and dad, and then I think some friends from the Stanford team. So it'll be a good group.
Very good. Do you anticipate you'll be able to go see any sports? What sports would you want to see?
Yeah, I think I'm going to see some sports because we finish on like August 3rd. So we actually have like a few days afterwards. I think I'm going to see like Taekwondo. My mom's really excited to see, I think like equestrian. Yeah, it'll be a fun time.
It'll be fun. You got to get business first, party second, I suppose.
Yeah,
though, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter. Of course, we'll continue to track his progress during the games. Stay tuned to Quest for Gold. We've got one final episode coming up on Friday. We'll be talking with a two-time Olympic BMX biker who's hoping to turn around her fortunes in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you on opening day of the 2024 Olympics in Paris.